You were listening to the Never Meet Your Heroes podcast, conversations with artists about their work and inspiration. I am your host, Anthony Moses Sanchez.
The Los Angeles Road Concerts took place Saturday, November 11th, 2017, on National and Washington in Culver City. The organizer, Stephen Van Dyck, spoke with me on episode 5 of the podcast about his inspiration for the event.
We are on the heels of your LA Road Concert. Well, where did the idea for the Road Concert come from? What were some of the influences on it?
I think like Alan Capro and Fluxus are big influences on my coming up with this idea. I think I had like kind of a silly idea that I wanted to like turn the road into like a musical staff, and like all the art along the road would be like notes. I don't know. I see a lot of potential for dialogue in art. The ways in which we can communicate ideas through art can, a gesture can mean a whole, you know, a day's worth of talking. In this event that's happening on Saturday, it's happening at the intersection of National Boulevard and Washington Boulevard. This is not an in-between space. It's more of a place with pedestrian traffic. It's on the west side. I would say maybe the more exciting thing is that people who maybe can't afford to live in Culver City or show their work in the galleries in Culver City are, in this case, we have an event where people are coming together to show work there who would otherwise maybe never show work in Culver City.
Mm-hmm. For this road concert, I spoke briefly with 8 artists about their work. For more information on their project, check out laroadconcerts.com or on the Never Meet Your Heroes podcast website.
Hi, this is Anthony at the LA Road Concerts, and I am at my first stop here. So we're going to go ahead and introduce each of you, get your name, your name.
My name is Ong Wilson.
And your name?
Jen Bruce.
And?
Chelsea Rector.
All right, and what's the name of the project?
We're otherwise known as 23, 24, 25, and we are presenting a piece here called Safe Tea, and Safe Tea is a tea service that's free and open to the public, and it takes place on the traffic median across the street from Cloud and Man.
Okay. So you guys do this often?
This is our first collaboration.
Awesome. And what was the inspiration for this?
Just the collaboration.
Do you guys have any other inspirations that have made you do this kind of stuff?
Well, in our conversations about working together and designing something together, we found that it always came back to issues related to globalized capitalism and the gaslighting that takes place at, on kind of like the socio-political level. So we wanted to design a space that we felt reinforced progressive values in the face of late capitalist government that we now have.
So any future projects then, since you guys have just started this?
Definitely. Our composition that's playing in the background is something we're already talking about sharing again with people in the format of a performance of some kind. So we're definitely talking about the future together.
Anything you would like to add?
That we provided sun-brewed tea that was brewed right here on site, and that it's as an offering for everyone to be here with us and arrive.
Okay, I'll be sure to have some before I leave. Any particular flavors that you guys made?
Yeah, we've made hibiscus tea and rosehip tea.
Okay, maybe we can get those recipes later. All right, thank you for speaking with me, ladies.
Artist sculptor Jory Harms describes his project.
And a sculpture that can, it's representative of white male privilege, essentially. So the structure itself kind of looks like the gallows And then below are these two weights. One is strung up with just one pulley. The other one's got a two pulley system. They're both equal weights, but having two pulleys on one makes the other one easier to lift. So during the performance, I would essentially lift the one with just one pulley over and over again until I can't. So it's an endurance piece. Then afterwards, I walk over to the other one. I put on some gloves and I string it up just once. It's a lot. I kind of exhibit that it's a lot easier to lift up. And then I tie it down. There's a tie down at the end there, and let it hang looming in the air essentially after that. And then
sounds cool. Sounds reminds me a little bit of the visceral stuff that like Matthew Barney does, but I don't know if that's
Somebody actually told me to look into him, and I have not. So I'm unfamiliar with his work, unfortunately. But yeah, I'll definitely look into that.
All right. Any other inspiration? I mean, I guess you have a much of a social kind of message here, right?
Right. Yeah, correct. I guess, well, I identify as trans male. So, I've spent the first half of my life as a female, and now living as white male, I've walked through a new pair of shoes. And so I've experienced firsthand what it's like to be on both ends of the spectrum. I also, my girlfriend, she works in a very male dominated industry, so I get to hear all those stories. So it's really maddening in a lot of ways, and I guess this is my way to kind of exhibit that.
Great. All right, well, thanks for speaking with me.
Thank you.
All right. Hi, so we're here on the corner of the Epicenter here in National Washington, and I'm here with
Margie Schnibbe.
And what's the name of your project?
Make Love Not War, Respect the Vets, Promote Peace.
And what's the interest of your project here?
Well, today's Veterans Day, so I want to honor the vets, but also respectfully protest war, because I am anti-war. So I have a number of signs. This one I'm holding in my hand says, Make Love Not War. I actually have 10 of these, and people pass by, and they grab one, and they protest with me. And then the other sign I'm holding is Hearts with Vets, like Love Vets. My father was a veteran. I've had friends who were veterans, so I really want to respect the people who have gone out there and served. But also, wouldn't the world be a much better place if there were no more wars?
Absolutely. Yeah, my grandpa Sanchez died in the Korean War.
Wow.
I mean, my dad was six, so the world would be different.
Yeah, that's very tough. You know, my dad was in World War II.
Yeah, my great-grandpa was in World War II.
Oh, yeah. See, I'm older than you. That's funny. And now there's a lot of young veterans who have served in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just want to put the word out. So we're here on the corner, and people have stopped by. There's also some peace signs that are hanging from the fence. I've got a big sign that says, Make Love, Not War. But that's it's pretty windy today. It's a little windy, so I've had that taped down. And these signs are on sticks. Anyone can come by and just grab one, hold it for a couple minutes, face the street. Cars honk, but people on the west side are more reserved than the east side. The east side people honk like crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Here, I think people are afraid to make noise. You know?
My family's from East LA, so I know what you mean.
it's more partying over there. That's how I feel like. It's we have protests in like Silver Lake and Echo Park. There's people who are protesting every week, you know? So I think a west side needs more protests.
I agree. Too much gentrification. All right, thanks for speaking with me.
Thank you, Anthony. And I'm going to give you a sticker that says, Make Love, Not War.
All right, thanks.
This is Riri Deuce on his project.
Tons. And so I have this convenient estimator, three questions, and you can determine an estimation of your carbon footprint. And then once you have that, you can figure out how to lower it.
Okay. Any inspiration about this? You seem to be very concerned about the environment.
I'm totally concerned about the environment, the atmosphere, and climate change. I think it's the most important issue, more than any other issue, more than racism, more than hunger, more than everything. Because if we ruin our atmosphere, nothing else matters. And there's a huge denial and cognitive dissonance by Western nations, especially the United States, my country, where the average carbon footprint is 20 tons a year per person, and the average in the world is 2 tons. So we use 10 times the average person. And I think that we can easily reduce with just a little inconvenience. And it's not like during World War II, where people had to give up food and they had to give up so much, we really only have to give up some flights and maybe driving in our car alone and maybe not eating cattle as frequently. One thing I want to tell you about me is people always hear about me re-reduce, and they immediately, often, almost always, react as if I'm discussing abstinence. I'm not discussing an abstinence model. I don't think anybody needs to quit doing anything. I think people just need to reduce. And reduce your flights, reduce your animal product consumption, reduce your driving. And you don't have to eliminate it, just reduce. I think we can all reduce, and that's what I'm all about. Okay. I'm re-reduce.
You want to describe, since this is kind of a podcast or radio, essentially, what you're doing out here in the street, though? You got this wonderful, fabulous outfit, and you're dancing around.
Well, my primary intention was to participate in this art event. I got invited to participate, and I love being with other artists. I've met some great artists today doing stuff. And then secondly, I have my website here written on my leg, and so hopefully it's easy to read, and I hope people will go to my website, and I have my carbon footprint estimator there, and they can just answer those three easy questions and they'll have an idea. So my real hope is to expose my carbon footprint estimator and get people to look at their carbon footprint. That's mainly what I'm here for. And then also to be a part of this wonderful event.
All right. Well, thanks for speaking with me, and I'll also have the information on my website. So this is Anthony. I'm here on the corner of National Washington, and I'm here with
Faith Purvey.
And go ahead and just tell us a little bit about your project here, especially because we're podcasting, so people are listening. They're probably driving or avoiding work.
Well, I'm a little bit conflicted, but I'll do it if it's going on a live podcast, because the human interactions 5 cents is about having an unmediated interaction, just to kind of reprogram us a little bit, even the tiniest little way that we could sit with each other, look at each other, and just be here and now without having to record it or document it or kind of like repurpose it in any way, shape, or form. It's only here and now. So I just made this little stand that's kind of like the Lucy Charlie Brown the doctor is in, and I made a pun on the social practitioner by saying the practitioner is in or out. I guess you could say that I'm assuming the position of one who is providing this service, or kind of like coming into it like, we need to be better humans together. But really, it's a practice for me too. I would say that I'm as addicted to my phone as anybody else. But the idea was kind of to just say, this is happening. We're not using phones. We're not posting it. We're just experiencing it. That's it.
Right.
And I've been thinking about doing this for a little while. I got the idea when I was riding my bike to work, which actually is right, I work right there. Weirdly that he planned this and it's right where I work, but I looked up at the train platform and I saw probably like 30 people all standing with their heads down in their phone in a line, and I was like, what the hell, you know, like, this is ridiculous. We don't talk to each other anymore.
Well, I'll go ahead and share with you my podcast. Actually, I meet with artists and I talk for them for over an hour, because I feel like we're not talking long enough, especially with so many issues. So, and I have a lot of friends that have, 60-hour a week jobs, so they don't really get an opportunity to not be in their phone. So this is a way for them to be able to experience these moments that they can't, you know. So but I respect your sense of like not having something mediated.
It's tough because you can't, like, I guess it's an experiment for me just to say, like, I want to see what this boundary looks like between mediating and not mediating. But
right. All right. Well, thanks for speaking with me. So now we are here speaking with
Elizabeth Folk and Mark Bobro.
And what's the name of your project?
It is called Bumpy Ride Melting Inside.
And how would you describe it for listeners, what you were up to?
I would describe it as a mid-century modern credenza / popsicle cart hybrid operated by a woman who has traveled across the country. She has scaled the Rockies with this cart. She's trying to purvey freedom and truth. She's a little nearsighted, though, a little myopic, maybe doesn't quite get the cultural context. She's a white feminist for sure. Mm-hmm. And she is purveying freedom in the form of these frozen popsicles, but they've all melted on her way over the Rockies to the West Coast.
Mm-hmm. You want to add anything?
This particular performance, I am playing the role of a protester. So she's selling what she thinks are intact popsicles, red, white, and blue power pops, bomb pops, very patriotic, and I'm protesting this, and with a large poster of a melting popsicle, and I'm handing out my own little flyers in protest, always following her behind, across the street, always haunting her.
One aspect of it was, and it's kind of like a performance art in public, right? Is that my right? That your character wasn't speaking to anybody, or was it part of the myopic thing, like she couldn't see anybody?
No, she was just, I mean, the only thing that she has to purvey really is this sort of outdated notion of freedom that isn't very diverse, that is very limited. So this piece is really getting at, they just did a survey, they're sort of looking at this whole phrase Trump was using is make America great again. So people were trying to sort of get at what he meant by again. Mm-hmm. And they did a survey, and over 60% of Republicans think that life was best in the 50s. And this is before the civil rights movement, before second wave feminism, before trans rights movement. I mean, it's before so many milestones had been made. So that's kind of the politics that I feel are still being promoted, even by people who think they're super liberal. So this piece is sort of teasing that apart, using the mid-century furniture as sort of a metaphor or a stand-in for that kind of political figure.
And then your character, I saw you protesting and handing out stickers. So what's the response? You guys are kind of like protagonist, antagonist in some ways?
I'm one of those people who just almost protest without maybe a good reason behind it. I just do it. I might describe problems without a real solution. I'm not doing much. She's the one pushing the credenza, the popsicles. She's giving away things. She's positive. I'm negative.
But he is purveying the truth that my popsicles are melted.
Right. That's what I was trying to get at. Because you can see the popsicle here, but then the image on the sticker is of it melted.
He's exposing me as a liar. Mm-hmm. But maybe he doesn't know quite what to do about it yet. But I think I don't think you should undermine your
conceptual contribution
to this performance, Mark. No. I feel like that is very much, for me, what the melted popsicle represents.
Right.
Is, you know, he's telling the truth about what I'm selling, which is really, this is an empty credenza. There's not even a refrigerator in there. It's just looking like, you know.
It's all for show.
It's all front, no back.
Okay.
Well, the role of the protester is really exposing the truth that there are no popsicles in the first place. And if there are, they're completely melted. So sort of using this one image as a signifier, the protester is exposing the truth.
What I was trying to share, too, is that there is something that is very obvious about a protester handing out pamphlets, or in this case, the popsicle, which is a stand-in for the problem and the solution. Is that what I'm understanding?
Most definitely.
All right.
Perfectly.
Well, thank you for speaking with me. You guys have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just started. I'm 5 episodes in. I'm interviewing artists.
What's the name of the show?
Never Meet Your Heroes.
Oh.
So I have the...
I like the name.
What inspired the name?
What inspired the name for me was this idea that... you know, like all those VH1 shows or like Netflix is always trying to tell you? We need to keep dancing, huh? You know, kind of reflecting on how the 60s is a great generation, or how Trump... And this kind of make America great again. So it's just kind of like letting us release ourselves from
from the past and kind of looking to ourselves and our current generation and what we can do to make our generation the greatest generation. Mm. And kind of just saying, that's what the Medusa is about too. Like, you know, don't let it turn you into stone.
Yeah.
Like the idea of action and doing things, and go out there and meet your own peers and figure out how you can change things be a part of the world.
Yeah.
So that's my concept.
Beautiful, sure. Beautiful.
So we are here on top of a van dancing.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe drinking.
You should come on our show because we have one every Wednesday streaming live from Facebook. And actually, yeah, we're a mobile radio station too, so you should come and also
I love it.
Collaborate. It can be awesome.
So what's the name of your project?
This is called Solar Sonic.
Okay. And we're here with...
Elisa LeClaire.
I am Willpower Life Force.
Nasi Murakami.
All right. And so what's the inspiration for this that we're up here?
Yeah, we're culture hackers.
Geo hackers.
Nope. Culture hackers.
Okay, culture hackers.
Yeah.
Is it kind of like a guerrilla thing? You guys just take over an area?
Yeah, exactly. It's just about, like, you know, having these pop-up events, like really flash events that happen, and just seeing what transpires in the interim.
All right. Well, I mean, I love that this kind of feels like there's just a club hanging out on the side of the street. So that got it right?
We'll be at the club later if you want to stop by. We're doing curbside, club side.
Okay, cool. All right, well, thanks for speaking with me, and I'll have some stuff on the website for you guys, and I'm sure I'll see you guys again. Thanks. And I'm here with artist...
Chris Waranofsky.
All right, and how would you describe for listeners what you were doing today? I have a video of it as well that I'll post, but...
It's going to leave a mark. So, I'm essentially a snowdrift in a city, specifically. But, obviously, it's California, so that isn't really possible. But it's a Siberian cosmonaut rolling around a tumbleweed. The Russians brought Russian thistle, which is it's actually an invasive species, and so I'm supposed to be a snowdrift / cosmonaut rolling around a tumbleweed like the Russian immigrant that I probably am. And that's the gist of it.
So what was the concept behind this? Is this part of your normal work that you do as well?
Kind of
outdoor. You kind of like took over a space here down the street. You're rolling around that metal kind of tumbleweed thing.
Yes, that's right. So, I mean, it's not typical, but it's not atypical either. I do have some history of performance, but it's still kind of like a newer thing for me. So I feel like the LA Road concerts is a good opportunity to kind of, you know, exercise some demons, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel it went then? I saw a lot of people were interacting with it.
I don't know, actually, to be honest, because... I was doing it, so I didn't actually get to see it.
Okay.
But I'm told that it went well.
Okay. I mean, I saw cars stopping and trying to follow you along. I saw people kind of running down the street to get you. So outside looking in, it looked like people noticed you.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty noticeable.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for speaking with me.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Never Meet Your Heroes podcast. Find us at nevermeetyourheroespodcast.com, where you can post comments, ask questions, and interact with artists and listeners. Also, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. And if you're on YouTube, don't forget to comment, like, and subscribe.